Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation. Pretty big NFC East news here. Let's talk a little bit of Cowboys here with you. We have Rangers. We have Mavs. It is a Mavs game night. They will be taking on the Pistons in 6 hours down there in Mexico City. But, yeah, Alshon Jeffrey officially out for the year with his foot injury. It's a Lisfranc. That they put him on IR, so he's done-ski. And it's going to be a long recovery, might require surgery. So long-term for the Eagles, that's a significant blow. Alshon Jeffrey is a massive weapon for them, maybe one of the top underrated receivers in all of football. Agree or disagree, Jeff, but my other thought that I wanted to get from you was, how much better are the Cowboys now than the Eagles, considering how they've significantly lost the war of attrition?
Yeah. Well, that's a loaded question, Gavin. Because the answer is the Cowboys are a lot better than the Eagles right now.
Okay, on paper, I guess I should say.
Well, yeah, because that's the problem, right? Because they were obviously better on paper than the Jets, and they were better on paper than the Saints without Breeze, and they're better on paper than a lot of people. But how does that translate? I mean, the Eagles are down to nothing at wide receiver. Nothing. I think even J.J. Arcega-Whiteside pulled his hammy, so I don't know what his status is right now. Their only wide receiver that I even know his name right now is Greg Ward, and I didn't know his name a few weeks ago. So, like, they got nothing. They're going to be throwing.
Aren't they doing Zach Ertz at wide receiver?
Yeah, he had to. They ran out of guys. So Zach Ertz is a receiver, and Dallas Goedert might be a receiver, and their running back is 11th string guy named Boston Scott that kind of brought him to life in last week's game. So the Eagles have, right now, a really bad roster. They're not playing well, but it doesn't mean the Cowboys are going to beat them.
No, it doesn't, but they have lost a significant number, and they were down to, what, one wide receiver. And but did you just drop in a perfect pronunciation of Arcega-Whiteside? Instead
Yeah, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Where'd you come across that? Hanging out with Amanda watching football?
I don't know. Draft
She's
stuff.
She's sportscasting now, too.
She is sportscasting. I don't know. Maybe I heard it somewhere. Arcega-Whiteside. I like to get people by their proper name.
Yeah.
That's why you'll hear Marcus Mariota, although okay, you'll never hear his name again. But if you did, you'd hear it properly.
Well, we appreciate that from you, and we appreciate the NFC East news right there. It's got a, you know, if you're rooting for the Cowboys to get this thing done, I feel like that's the point that you got to get to. It's not that the teams have the same record, but it's that the Eagles are so decimated that almost losing to the Giants and losing to the Dolphins is their station right now. That's how they should play. It's not that they're so disappointing and they're running out of gas or momentum. It's that they're decimated by injuries, and I guess Lane Johnson might be out as well, tackle.
I mean, it's totally fair to say, hey, no matter who they play, if you pick them to win, you're just kind of going on faith. But against the Eagles, look, they're playing as bad as you are, and they're missing their good players. So if the Cowboys found a way, I know we got the Rams first, but if you found a way to lose to the Eagles.
All right.
Whew.
Now you're saying all these things about the Eagles, right, and how bad they are. If I compared them, because you guys keep making fun of me, if you compare them to the Redskins, what do they have better today that's better than the Redskins? I will say yes, their quarterback is better.
Dwayne, I think it goes Cowboys, Eagles, or Cowboys, Redskins, Eagles right now if you'd line them up. Yeah. I think it's gotten that bad for Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's definitely possible.
And we're going to find out D-line's, this week.
Their D-line's they line up. Better,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think the Redskins have a great chance of actually winning
this
game.
Oh, yeah, they can beat them.
The Redskins are playing the best in the NFC. Are they the best? Probably not. But they are playing the best. The last six games of the season, I think we'll look and go, well, the Redskins played the best, but I'm not going to consider them the favorite in 2020 to win the division.
I mean, the Cowboys have lost to Patriots, Bills, Bears. You know, the Eagles are playing significantly worse teams.
Yeah, and all those games were tied when they started.
were tied when they started. Yeah. The
Cowboys.
Fair enough.
It was close.
You can't try to give the Cowboys any kind of credit when hot mics around.
The Eagles have a decent quarterback, two good healthy offensive linemen and three good defensive linemen. That's their whole team.
I will say this. That's what they have. Right now, if they were playing this week, I would pick the Cowboys to win against the Eagles.
Whoa!
I think the Cowboys are going to win next week against Eagles. I think they're going to get blown out this Sunday. I think it's going to be a 10 to 20 point loss for the Cowboys. It doesn't mean they can't beat. The Eagles are one of probably the 7 or 8 worst teams in the NFL. Luckily, the Cowboys are only like the 10th or 12th worst team in the NFL.
Oh, man. I was hoping, Jeff, that we could get a bet on Philadelphia for Mike. Not willing to go that far, though.
I just watching them play Monday Night Football and the injuries that they have, it'll be interesting what the spread is. I bet it's going to be a home game for the Eagles, so I bet it'll be about a pick 'em because the Cowboys are about to lose by 10 or 12. Let's just say the Eagles pull out a 3-point victory over the Redskins, so they will have a better record and they'll be at home. I bet Vegas will make the Eagles a barely favorite or about a pick 'em game.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan every day at 2 o'clock. We talk about the biggest stories that have developed since last we broadcasted. We were live at Chill in Louisville last night. We were hoping for Anthony Rendon or Chris Bryant or something that was in the news. And a lot's happened since then. JD talking at the winter meetings earlier today says trading for a player with a year or two of control does not make sense. And he also said the kinds of players that the Rangers are reportedly involved in being interested in at third base aren't necessarily what's really going on. So JD making a couple of statements, and we find ourselves now in a spot wondering exactly what is the plan. Maybe the trade with the Mets I saw for Jed Lowry.
It could be. I'm not crazy about that. What I would be crazy about at this point and be like, hey, that was awesome. I don't know what you'd have to give up. Is to try to go get Miguel Andujar, who's 24 years old, and he would be a guy you could build your lineup around, him and Gallo.
Uh-huh.
I mean, right now, if we're not into older guys, which is fine. I mean, unfortunately, that wasn't the plan a week ago because they were discussing with stuff with Josh Donaldson. They were discussing stuff with Anthony Rendon, who's 30, 31 years old. I mean, they were discussing stuff with older players, and now they're transitioning into whatever plan B, C, and D are. But to me at this point, that's fine if you don't want to go sign guys that can help you win an extra 3 or 4 games this year to try to get you to 500. I totally get it. Then let's go try to get guys that are in their mid-20s that you feel like have 10 years left of baseball to play.
I just feel like if you were going to, like with Rendon, if you're going to talk about being interested, it's cool. If Rendon chooses a different place to play, and it's like, yeah, we made a competitive offer and he chose somewhere else to play. Cool.
Yeah. Sweet. Like the White Thanks Sox on Zach Wheeler. They offered $120 million. He chose $118 million with Philadelphia. That'll sometimes happen.
Right. You gave it a real shot. Yeah. You didn't give Rendon a real shot. For JD to be like, he was asked about Rendon, and he's like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It sucks that we didn't get him. Well, why would it suck when you knew going in with what you offered, you had zero chance? Like, I guarantee you, their meeting with Scott Boras couldn't have lasted more than 3 minutes. Because you walk in and it's like, what do you guys think? And they're like, oh, we think 5 years ago. Wait, let me stop you there. What? Because that's already not going to work. And like, you weren't even in the ballpark. So,
yeah.
Like, I think they're confused on where they are.
Yeah.
Because that's the sort of free agent you want, right? If you don't want 1 or 2 years of control, it's because you think you're 2, 3, and 4 years away from contending. Mm-hmm. So, wouldn't you want one of the best players in baseball to be locked in for 6 or 7 years?
Yeah,
to be part of your team in that window? That's what you would think. Yeah. But they're not trying to spend the big money.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess they offered 6 and 200, and that was their final offer, and whoever Sounds was like reporting it. On that meeting thought that because they'd offered 6 and 200, they were the favorite. How do you reconcile all of that? How does that
when
kind
Strasburg
of nonsense?
Strasburg had already gotten 245?
Yeah.
You thought that 200 made you the favorite?
I guess in October, before anybody got any contracts, the Rangers thought that this free agency would be like the last 2 years where everybody would say, okay, we're out. We're out on free Fair agency. Enough. We're not spending money. Remember, the players aren't valued that much. An average player to a great player is not much different. And so they went into the market. I'm giving them maybe an excuse.
No,
here.
I think that's a realistic narrative. I appreciate that perspective. Whatever the case, they're the biggest pain in the ass in DFW sports right now. I know the Cowboys are frustrating, but they draft players who actually are good or, you know, make a run at something. Right now, it's like, where do you hang your hat at? They had these young players and you know, they're not coming along at all. You know, what are Mazzara and Rugi and Gallo, who they were kind of... You know, those are highly flawed players. And then we don't get the free agents. So there's nothing in the minor leagues. And I know, well, you got to listen to the who's in the minor. No, they're not there. They're not there. They're never there.
We've been told for 10 years. Yeah. There are people who are going to tell you that the Rangers minor leagues are awesome, and they say it every year. But the players never show up. So you can keep listening to it and keep reading scouting reports of people telling you that guys are going to be awesome, but they ain't showing up.
Well, and to me, this is where it gets lost, is they will tell me somebody's great. Leody Taveras, he might end up being great. No numbers suggest he's ever going to be great. There was no numbers that ever suggested Profar would be great. Go look at Juan Soto and Ronald Acuna Jr. and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I'm giving you the guys that people would, if you're following baseball, you know and love. These are superstars in the making. Go look at what they did in the minor leagues and tell me they just put up average stats. If you don't know, they were batting like 371 and hitting a home run every third game.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing in the minors. So for the other organizations, when they pump up a player, they're actually doing things that no human being's doing in that league that they're in, and they're doing it 4 and 5 years younger than the people in that league.
Well, Ranger fans, very passionate about it. They're calling already without even being solicited. The text, we appreciate your feedback, and we are the home of the Rangers. Obviously, we're pulling for this ball club, and you know, we want them to be good. It is significantly disappointing when it's like, okay, where is the path? Where are they going? What are they doing?
And do they know?
I don't know.
Like, how could you know? Because right now, you can't look at their lineup or their rotation and project it out to be a contender. So, like, right now, what the
especially
roster's
now
doing...
what the Angels are doing. So now you're not better than the Astros. You're not better than the A's. On paper, you're not better than the Angels.
So are they going to buy time and just plug little tiny holes in a leaky ship to try to win 75 games? Or because it seems directionless right now. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, are they waiting for the right time to give market value, or are they waiting for the right superstar to take under market value?
That's why I would gather everybody together tomorrow in the offices in Arlington and say, all right, we got done with the winter meetings. What are we actually trying to accomplish? In 2000, and maybe they already know, they're just not going to share.
Yeah.
I'm asking the question too, because I don't know. What are we trying to accomplish in 2020? What are we trying to accomplish in 2021? Are we trying to build something soon, or are we 5 years down the road from building something? Because if we're 5 years down the road, we need to trade Gallo. We need to try to trade Minor and Lynn, and maybe you don't do it today, but maybe you do it during the season. But maybe you look at it and say, you know, our best case scenario is we're good 5 years from now.
Well, I mean, but they had a chance to do that a couple of years ago,
right?
You know, and they didn't really go all in on that, you know. Which, to me, it really looks like an ownership group that wants to be around average and make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it's that's the way it looks like for me.
I guess in 2017, to give them another excuse, but it's not. I mean, it didn't. Maybe they thought Mazzara and Odor would be superstars at this point, and they, you know, one could only get you a maybe guy who could maybe play in the big leagues 2 years from now, and the other one we rag on, you know,
could make some sense
2/3 of the year because he can't play Major League Baseball, and then there's the other third part of the year where he looks really good in Odor.
Good points, Mike. Good points indeed.
So that's why they have to reevaluate. Like,
totally.
We don't have Mazzara didn't work. Odor didn't work. Gallo played 70 games and worked, but we don't even know if that's going to be a guy that is going to be great all the time. Should we start over? And, you know, probably if they do, I don't know the ownership and JD's relationship, but I don't know if you could sell as the general manager after 2-3 years ago selling, just wait till all these guys develop and our young guys and we rebuild the farm system to say, hey, it didn't work. Give me another 4 to 5 years to redo it.
My expectation is that this year will be an exact repeat of last year, where it's about, all right, guys, what it turns out is this year is about evaluating what is Solak and what is pick your favorite name of those young pitchers.
Right.
And will we be dealing the starting pitcher we just signed? Like, that's the track you're on. And maybe that's their track. Maybe they've decided that's the best approach is, look, we probably are going to have to sell again, but we're going into a new stadium. We're going to go in hopeful, see what happens, but we're not going to sign a contract that we think in 5 years we'll be like, why did we do that? Because we don't know that we're going to contend yet. But it's just, to me, it's just embarrassing to pretend you were in on Rendon when you weren't, because you weren't. With your offer, you weren't.
Yeah. From the 903, does Mike hate all DFW sports teams?
I like the Stars.
I would say this.
Mavs.
I'm in love with the Mavs right now. Text in what's to love right now about the Cowboys and Rangers. We're the home of them. We want them to do great. It helps us financially. We love when they're doing great, but I don't know. Right now, as of today, what are we, what am I, since you're specifically telling me, what am I supposed to be fired up in a positive way about the Rangers and the Cowboys?
And I think maybe you underestimate your role as a fan base or the media. Like, this is what fan bases do to hold teams accountable. And if it goes on long enough, you bitch long enough that fans stop showing up. And then they say, oh, man, we better hire a new GM or get spending money. You know, this is how the public keeps teams accountable when they've lost their way.
We got to talk about this because for the first time ever, when we went off the air and I got in my car to listen to the Cowboys Hour, the Cowboys ran a commercial that there's tickets available Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Tickets are on sale. I don't hear those very often.
I don't know if I've ever heard that. So I think the Cowboy fan is saying, look, we didn't buy the extra tickets up.
Yeah. Okay, Mavs are back in action tonight. Mexico City, they play the Pistons at 8 o'clock. Couple of interesting players to watch. Andre Drummond is a rebounding machine. Pairing him with Porzingis would be amazing. But Blake Griffin is disappointing so far. His efficiency numbers are way down. So I want to see why. You know, is he kind of getting old? Did he hit a Sean Kemp wall or something?
Yeah.
8 o'clock start. Mavs are a 6-point favorite against a Detroit team that comes in at 10-14. And we are back with Matthew Friedman of the Action Network. Okay, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time for our weekly conversation with Matthew Friedman of the Action Network. It's brought to you by the Action Network. If you're looking for an edge, download the free Action Network app. Get live odds and expert analysis for every game. Segment's also brought to you by Soda, state-of-the-art weight loss. And by Mark Rubin, 800 Lawyers. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Mark Rubin, official lawyers of the Tolo Rubin and Associates. How you doing, Matthew?
He's in the building!
Can you hear me? Matthew Friedman, Action Network, joining us. Here he is. I got you loud and clear, Matthew. How you doing? I thought I had them loud and clear.
No.
I hear that distortion kick up a little bit.
All right, which game you want to know about, Gavin?
Well, let's go ahead and talk about the Rams and Cowboys. Just take a flyer on that game. Maybe you might know something about it.
Well, Gavin, the Cowboys, the thing about the Cowboys is they've really underachieved this year. The Rams are on a little bit of a hot streak, but obviously that line's moved on you a lot this year. It started off with the Cowboys as a 4-point favorite. What is it now? Are the Rams a favorite yet?
Yep, one and a half.
Rams are a favorite now. I got to tell you, that means the sharps were on the Rams right off the bat.
As were
the dimwits and everybody else in the world.
It has moved 5.5 points.
Yes.
That's significant. I'm wondering for Matthew how often that happens, a swing like that.
Let's try this again, man.
Good afternoon, Matthew. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. Yeah, we were just talking about the line movement. Where exactly is it now, and how often does something like this happen without, a significant injury or something?
Yeah, so there is so much money that is piling in right now on the Rams that it has moved from 1 on the Cowboys to 1.5 on the Rams. Now, the move from 0 isn't all that huge because it was basically already a pick 'em at -1. But here's one thing that's interesting. Early on Sunday, before the Rams game, some books posted an early line, and they posted it -3 on the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And of course, that moved. So, I mean, significant movement towards the Rams, and it makes a lot of sense.
Did anybody get the Rams +3?
Oh, man, I did. I mean, I was all over that. You guys know how happy I am to bet against the Cowboys when they are home favorites.
So, what kind of a game do you anticipate? Is this going to be a blowout? Is this going to be easy money in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. The Rams have looked so good over the past 2 weeks that I definitely, under no circumstances, would want to bet against them. The Cowboys, they do so many big things right. Like, they move the ball through the air, but they do a lot of small things really wrong. And it's those small things on the margins that have cost them games over the past few weeks. And so I don't know how it's going to happen. I just feel pretty confident that somehow the Cowboys find a way to lose.
If you were making a wager against your buddies and you had to make the line that would make you want to bet the Cowboys, how big would it have to get for you to be comfortable that there's at least a 50-50 shot?
Ooh, I would need to go +3. So if it were Cowboys +3.5, I would probably do it.
I was thinking more like 9.
Okay, Gavin.
What? You've seen the last two games.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if it's a single-digit game.
Okay. My guy Lamar Jackson, him and his Ravens are 16.5-point favorite over the Jets. That's a very large number, but I love Lamar Jackson. Which way do I take it?
Oh, man, guys, it's now available at plus 17 if you want to do the crazy thing and bet on the Jets, which is what I'm actually going to do. As good as Lamar Jackson has been this year, a lot of games have still been relatively close. And here's one thing that's just kind of unbelievable. Opponents against the Ravens with Jackson as the starter are 8-2 against the spread as road underdogs. So Baltimore, it's a tough place to play, but if they go into Baltimore and their dogs, more often than not, they have overwhelmingly covered.
How about New England? You know, how much trouble are they in? You know, maybe not this weekend. They're 9.5-point favorites at Cincinnati, but big picture, what are they going in? The third best AFC team?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to overreact. Like, they're in that same tier with the Chiefs. I mean, if things had gone a little bit differently, the Patriots could have won that game last week. Like, they were still in it at the end. But looking at this week's game, yeah, I like them a lot. Coming off of a loss, they are 39-15-0 against the spread throughout the Belichick era, and against teams that are bad, like teams that didn't make the postseason last year. And the Bengals are just as bad as any team can get. The Patriots are 112-58-5 against the spread. I mean, they are totally incentivized. I think they're going to come out and crush the Bengals.
Matthew Friedman, Action Network, thanks so much for your time. Have a great weekend. Just kill
it. You too, guys.
There he goes. Yeah, and he unfortunately is on the Rams as well. I can't imagine, you know, having that kind of an opportunity. We should have been on that. You know, when that came out.
Yeah, we knew
that?
The number. We
Sunday
had the
night,
number.
Monday morning, should have been all over it.
I think that's one of those, it's almost a PTSD thing. It's like you're in shock.
Yeah.
Something so shocking happens that you can't react to it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would have bet it.
We were just so disappointed anyway.
Look, okay. It's not a bad bet now. My gosh.
No, it's not.
It's
you're
like,
right.
Oh, no. The Rams are favored by one.
Well, no, but we lost a great opportunity to get points. That's incredible.
Yeah, it could have been.
If it honestly went Rams to like 5.5, I would start going, maybe we should go Cowboys. But
they're going to have that 5.5 covered in the first quarter.
It was so funny. I know we got to get to G-Bag of the Day. Maybe we'll have time for this. I was listening to the Cowboy show last night after ours, and Roger Staubach was like, yeah, there was a similar situation, and 1971, we started off bad, and we had a bad game against the We had a bad game against the Bears, and we lost, and we went to 4-3, and we just weren't playing well, and the media's crushing us, and we had a meeting that Tom Landry said, you players get together and figure this out, and, you know, we won 10 in a row and won the Super Bowl. He's like, you know, and, you know, Roger's so positive. I'm like, Roger, this has nothing to do with this crap team.
Oh, you're going after Roger now. Well, this is first. You're going after Roger.
He's a positive guy. He's going to be but I'm like, Roger, you guys had played
Captain America
7 games.
Hey.
And then Ditka said that he was going to kill people if you guys didn't start playing better. Do you think anybody on this team has stood up and said, don't play better and I'll kick your ass after this game?
No, like, I mean, I don't people think that's ever happened.
And guess what? That team that went 4-3 and was struggling, all those guys, what did they do the year before? They lost in the Super Bowl. It was a good story. I listened to it all, but I'm just like, you're talking about a team that went to the Super Bowl, got off to a slow start, and then won 10 in a row to win the Super Bowl. Does that sound anything like the team that we had last year or this team?
I mean, you got to give these guys a little bit of leeway because, you know, they're in a spot where they're not going to be critical, right? So they got to do their best to stay on their particular messaging, right? Yeah. And at times it can be a little bit unfortunate. Because you're bending the laws of reality and logic, you know? It's like thinking you're going to get a superstar player for less than market value in free agency.
Oh, no!
Not going to happen. Okay, it's time for the G-Bag of the Day. The best audio for the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all, vote on which one we like the best, and that is the G-Bag of the Day. And Lucius, are we in the midst of a possible 5-time champion right here?
Yeah, Funky Town, stand up. Your man, John, this is the 5th time, right?
Yeah!
Funky Town, stand up!
Let's go, John. You didn't even have to be ready to be on the phone. Getting out of the car, all sorts of stuff.
Here's John in Fort Worth.
Hey, John.
Where are you headed?
Hey, guys.
Radio turned up.
You're on.
You get to talk on the radio now.
John,
do you like Mike Lynn?
I want Jason Garrett to tell us two coaching functions that he does during a game, and clapping and moving his microphone to spit don't count. And the most ridiculous thing is holding up one finger after we score a touchdown, but my 7-year-old grandson knows we're going to kick an extra point.
Well, now, when
John,
going
you're one of my favorite callers. Do you like how I do radio, John?
Do you like how I do radio?
Shadow. Bassick is one of the only guys up there that speaks the truth in love.
Stop gassing him, bro. Oh, stop God. Putting that battery on his nice. Back. Don't gas this man like
Mike's
that.
Mike's running around saying Washington's the best team in the NFC East, and he's the one telling the truth. Huh? That's what we got out here?
Yes.
Jason Garrett can't talk. He can't diagram a play.
Right. Jason Garrett can't break down a football play.
Have I not said this whole week he's not educated enough to do this?
Oh, my God.
There
it
is.
We got good news for people who like bad news.
What's that?
Mike is going to give you some bad news if you like bad news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tune in daily.
That's what I do.
He makes it fun, too.
Yeah. Storm cloud on a sunny day. Yeah. Mike Bassick. Yeah.
If I did radio in Boston, it'd be different. Teams win in Boston.
Ooh, yes, that is the city of
well,
champions.
You do radio the same, though.
It's been a great
Fit
run.
Right in.
Yeah. Okay, there he is.
Oh, you guys suck.
4-time GMAC champion. You guys are pathetic.
You guys are pathetic, the worst.
Well, us all being homers and kissing their butts ain't working for them playing better.
You're right, Mike. We might be letting them off the hook. I think we got to own up to it.
That's it, Cowboys. Turns out you're not playing well. Does that teach them?
It's because we don't take enough negative calls about them. Okay.
877. We got 4.5 hours.
Okay, Lucius, who's challenging John on his big day?
Bill Burr is a Pats fan, and he wants to congratulate the Chiefs for beating his Pats.
And I know people in Kansas City are happy. You molasses barbecue eating my how sticky are your faces right now?
We finally beat him. Oh my God.
Congratulations to you long suffering in the western part of Missouri. I know you probably got an extra order of baby back ribs. You know, the reason why I'm doing this to you guys with the food thing is for some reason that's just what you have to do in sports. Like, they always think, you know, everybody in Boston's eating clam chowder or some stupid seafood dish, you know, baked beans. You know, every time Philly's in some sort of big time game, what are they always got to teach the rest of the world how to order a cheesesteak? Go to you guys, give me a whiz wit.
That's real life, yeah.
Just give me a Philadelphia cheesesteak. I can't wait to go there again and just say the whole order. Just make the fucking thing. You gotta say, give me one wit, one without. Oh, do I? Is that what I have? My fucking money's green. Anyway, yeah.
That's exactly what happened when we went to Philadelphia. It was freezing, and the dude opened the window, and I was like, I'd like a cheesesteak.
I remember your story, man.
He was mad at you.
He was furious, and I learned.
Yeah, you got to be on the ball right there.
Yeah.
I was intimidated at that moment, so I stood back and let other people go so I could kind of get the lay of the land.
They want two words. Yeah. And that's it.
Jeff was hungry that day.
Messing up their flow, man.
He jumped out of that cab and ran across the street to it. What is it called? Geno's or something?
I don't know. Yeah, I call it the guy who was peed off.
Okay.
It was all right.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah,
it was, okay. Was it, Mike?
Decent.
How was it, bro? Was it?
You know, like when you,
it's as good as whatever bar around like, here has one.
Yeah.
Awesome. You know, yeah. Hey, we did it. We made it to Philadelphia for this sandwich. And honestly, the dude in the Philadelphia Phillies visiting team locker room makes them better.
You got a gift.
Oh, does he?
You have a real gift.
Gift, who else is nominated, Lucius?
Let's see. This is one time for the Uber drivers. I will be using your service tonight. So I know you deal with a lot of things. And this is a perfect example. A whole bunch of people want to get in this guy's car. He says no.
Yo, I can't take five people, only four.
Nah, we can take five.
No, yeah. Friend. Can't take four, or can only take four.
Nah, we can take five.
Answer, huh?
Wrong answer.
Nope. Out.
Wrong answer. What?
I'm not taking the ride then if you guys aren't. I can't take five.
Really?
It's against the law.
I'll give you $20.
It's the law.
Man.
Huh?
You got a seatbelt right here.
Yeah, for four people.
Dude, you're crazy.
I give you an extra 10. You won't take the ride.
It's not a
you went from 20 to 10.
Yeah. Out.
Leo.
It's Ranger negotiating.
You get slapped in the f-ing face like
dude,
a f-ing idiot.
Dude, you're f-ing stupid.
Whoa.
Now you want to fight
a
him.
Lot of, you would have got a good tip.
Out.
Get out. Tip.
I like the guy who's clearly super high. The guy at the end is like, you would have got a good tip. You would have, man.
Well, he was drunk, by the way. Crazy. But yeah.
See, I thought the other ones were all hammered.
They were all of them super hammered. Oh, I got one more.
Okay.
One more. Belichick on analytics. I thought this was kind of funny. I heard this on KSC.
It always drives me crazy, too. We get on the plane after a loss, and I walk on the plane. I look at the – and a lot of times the coaches will be there, you know, on their computer and everything. And I'm like, you know, fellas, the reason why we got beat is because we can't tackle, and we can't force the run. Right. Like, all the rest of this is a bunch of garbage. This isn't about a computer, you know, get into some – space world technology. This we can't tackle.
That's why he's the best.
Computer world space technology.
They're at the forefront of analytics, and will tell you to your face that they're not.
Keep it simple, stupid. You can hear the tone of his voice change when he really gets excited to tell a big old lie.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it Belichick on analytics? Is it John, our caller, looking for five? Is it Bill Burr, or is it the Uber folks?
This is a tough one, but I think John has it right.
It's a tough one, but I'm going to go for the layup.
Good God. Great broadcaster guy.
Yeah, I'm going with John. Stand up, Fort Worth.
John's going five times.
Yes, look John!
He did it.
Funky Town, where you at?
You say you're taking an Uber tonight, Lucius?
Tarrant County
Cowboys. Going to a concert?
Man, I'm going to get lifted tonight, bro. We're having a party.
Right on. Yeah. Good, big enough party to call in.
A close family friend has came into town.
Sweet.
And staying, hanging out for a while.
So you got to do it real big, show a good time.
Yeah. Doing some cool stuff.
Enjoy. Okay, I'll go Belichick on analytics by a score of 3-1. John's done it. Now a five-time G-Bag of the Day champion. When we come back, it's time for Mike to lead a segment. Where are we going with
My favorite team, the Mavs. Where does Luka rank as the best isolation and pick-and-roll players in the NBA today?
A new Mirage for 11.9, only at Mesquite Mitsubishi, online at MyMitsu.com, y'all.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Here's Bassick.
I feel like Lucius has a talent for finding music that just is smooth and awesome or just
almost
right, but just perfect. Gosh,
you'd almost think like he was
yeah,
a DJ.
You should probably do that for
you should try
somehow
it.
You should like try, you know,
a career of it.
You can really profit off
doing
of
this intro music thing. All right. So I went to The Athletic today and I just thought this was an awesome article. Look, if people want to say, Mike, you're not happy about anything, I'm really happy about the Dallas Mavericks. And Zach Harper of The Athletic writes an article that Maverick fans, you should be really excited about. It is about two types of scoring. It is isolation scoring and pick and roll scoring. And it is ranking off of a lot of different numbers. It is ranking the best isolation players in the NBA, so one-on-one players, and ranking the best pick and roll players in the NBA. Now, spoiler, this is probably somebody you wouldn't pick as the boast at best. As the best at both.
The best at both.
The both at best.
Pick and roll, and what's the other one?
Isolation. I told Gavin already.
We wouldn't pick a guy.
It's the same
isolation.
Person. The same person is the best isolation and pick and roll player in the NBA.
The Greek freak.
Boban.
Damian Lillard.
Oh, okay.
So I think that we would kind of look at LeBron or Harden, and by the way, they're in this article. I mean, they are really good at it, but I wouldn't think if you started asking me, we don't think of Damian Lillard as kind of maybe an MVP candidate. He struggles to make the All-Star team.
Yeah,
once upon a time,
I
didn't know my mic was on. I'm sorry. Once upon a time. I apologize.
No, but I would also say, and you know, I'm a big Damian Lillard fan, but I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that he can kill regular season opponents.
Okay.
You know, and that's always the tough thing for littler guys. What happens when you get in the playoffs?
Well, and we'll find that out about Luka. Luka ranks third overall in isolation players in the NBA. It goes Lillard, Harden, and then Luka Doncic, who's just ahead of LeBron James, just to show where Luka is. And I'll just read you what they say, because this is just a really fun read here, if I can read well enough or good enough.
You want to pass that to somebody else and have them read it?
I guess I didn't let you know about it before, so it's on my computer here.
All right.
It says, this is where I'm legally obligated to remind you off the top that Luka is only 20 years old. What he's doing at this stage of his NBA career doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense historically. It doesn't make sense in the present. Doncic, even with the biggest hype coming into the draft, was not expected to be this good this quickly at an NBA level. He's going to go through ups and downs at some point, I think.
Probably not.
But it's mostly just ups during this part of his NBA career. In his second season, Luka has become one of the deadliest isolation scorers in the league. He just edges out LeBron James, who ranks fourth. Doncic last season ranked 20th in the league out of 31 players with at least 150 isolation possessions. He scored 90.8 points per 100 isolation possessions last year. This season, Luka has increased that efficiency by 8 points per 100 possessions so far.
Wow.
That's a monster leap, even for a second-year score. Rick Carlisle and the Mavs completely trust Luka to dissect the defender in front of him and use the threat of his passing ability to keep help defenders at bay. Because he's such an impressive facilitating weapon, help defense knows it has to stay at home on shooters and hope his primary defender can recover and handle the job.
That's the difference between Luka and I think a lot of these other players. You know, he's in his prime, and the passing ability just makes it that he doesn't have to have guys on the court that can really dominate the game on their own.
Yeah.
Everybody that can finish or shoot a jump shot is a capable offensive weapon if you're on the floor with Luka.
Yes, and my family really misses it. Tonight, my daughter and one of my sons said, the Mavericks play tonight, right? And I'm like, yeah, they play at 8 because – they've just been like, God, they're craving it because I'm craving it that we get to watch Luka do this again. Now it goes
stay up late. Yeah.
It goes on to say, how do you stop it? How do you stop Luka in isolation? It says, don't let him drive. Just force him to shoot. Let's say that Luka's eyes are a little wider than his shooting touch in these situations. Scouts mostly believe his shooting percentage from three-point range isn't due to poor shooting mechanics. It's due to poor shot selection. One scout says in the Western Conference, he takes a lot of dumb hero threes. He's scoring 80 points per 100 possessions when he shoots a jumper without attacking the isolated defender on a drive.
Ooh, that's a low number.
So he went from more way up to way low. Now it says, where does he excel with isolation possession? So if you want to watch this tonight and the rest of the season, when Luka is driving right at the top of the arc, there's nothing you can do about it. He turns the corner on a defender, gets the man on his hip, and just bodies him out of position as he gets to the basket. It's almost a ballet performance of bully ball, which with the way he handles each attack, he gets fouled on these drives nearly 40% of the time. That's an insane level of respect from referees for a second-year guy. When James Harden does it, we cry that he's gaming the system. With Luka doing it, we don't seem to want to tear it down yet.
Remember, I tweeted about it one time, and I just got harassed.
Yeah. About what?
All night. I was like, man, did Luka flop and create his own injury? Remember that one time?
Yeah.
So I started watching.
Against
I was
the
like,
Lakers,
yeah.
right?
I was like, okay, kind of flops a little bit. It's all right. I mean, you got to play the game given to you.
Yeah.
But they got mad for me calling it out.
He did buck his head into Dwight Howard, right?
Yeah, made that
I think he damn near concussed himself.
Oh. Now, this is where the numbers.
He totally started playing like crap immediately after.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where the numbers get insane. The fouls that he's getting on 40%, it helps him generate an absurd 150 points per 100 possessions when driving right after being isolated at the top of the key.
Dang.
Do not let him get that step to you on the right. So if he gets isolation at the top of the key and drives right, you're getting 150 points on 100 possessions. That's how great he is.
You think the Mavericks know these numbers?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
Okay. Now,
when
it goes to pick and roll scoring.
Are he and Dwight Powell still the best combo in the league?
It doesn't talk about the other people, but it does talk about Luka is second, only behind Damian Lillard in the NBA.
Probably because Dwight helps him so much.
Probably because of Dwight.
Dwight elevates him.
That's why we shouldn't trade for an all-star at that position because Dwight Powell is, I guess, that all-star. He has 322 points on 289 possessions. That's a 111.4 per 100 possessions. Here's what it says about Luka in the pick and roll. The initiator as a scorer makes up for roughly 44% of Luka Doncic's scoring possessions this season. Carlisle goes to this early and often because he's so great at putting defenders on his hip or backside, using a change of speed to keep the defense uneasy, and then picking the right moment to unleash a scoring opportunity his opponents can't stop. Sometimes that means a pass to a waiting teammate. Sometimes that means just Luka being the hero in the pick and roll possession. Where does he excel in the pick and roll possession? Now, this is interesting if I have it right here because he's going to go the opposite way on pick and roll. So this is what makes him tough, but maybe a little predictable in what he's going to do in isolation and pick and roll. Put him in the high pick and roll, and Luka will cook you. He has the third most possessions in the NBA attacking in the high pick and roll as a scorer behind Trae Young and Donovan Mitchell. Luka's 129.3 points per 100 possessions ranks first in high pick and roll possessions as a scorer. Harden is a close second. When he takes it to the basket out of the high pick and roll, Doncic makes 77.5% of his field goal attempts, which is insane. He's simply getting to the basket and finishing too much with too much ease in these situations. You have to drop down and wall off the paint in hopes that he doesn't hurt you too much with his jumper or with the pass. How do you stop it? It's not a large sample size, but keeping him on the right side of the floor when he's initiating the pick and roll has yielded his lowest efficiency this season. So in the pick and roll, you make him go right. But if he goes left, he's amazing with it. So in isolation, when you're watching,
right and left.
So in isolation, you're screwed if you take him to the right because he's unbelievable. In pick and roll, you want to make him go right because going to the left, he is unstoppable. It says they mostly try to run high pick and roll sets with him, but 9.2% of the time it comes on the right side of the floor. When that happens, he scores just 87 points per 100 possessions. So in pick and roll, you try to make him go to his right. In isolation, you try to make him go to his left to try to make him less efficient. But Luka is one of the best in the NBA, better than LeBron, right there with Lillard and Harden when it comes to isolation and pick and roll.
Cowboys Twitter is coming up. We have audio from Dan Mullen, Florida coach, former Dak college coach. How much would he make sense? How much does he sound like he's ready to go to the NFL? It's next in the Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.